The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from the Buckeye State. Welcome to the Dr. Anonymous Show, where we go beyond the blog to bring you the best the medical blogosphere has to offer. The phone number here is 646-716-9514. Of course, you can find me at dranonymous.com. Today is Thursday, January 10th, 2008. Happy New Year, everybody. It is 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It is cloudy. It is 45 degrees Fahrenheit and 7 degrees Celsius. Our guest tonight, I believe he's already checked into the chat room, Dr. Nick Jeans. And you remember him from show number 13 from November 8th, 2007. He was kind enough to join us again this evening, and we're going to be talking about the 2007 MedGadget MedBlog Award, sponsored by, I can't read my writing. We'll clear that up later. But thanks to Blog Talk Radio for featuring the show again tonight. Meeting this show is on the front page of the website, so thank you for that. Welcome to those of you who are joining the show for the first time, either live right now or in the archives. And I have to warn everybody right now that I've been listening to Blog Talk Radio shows this week, and the website has been kind of funky. So I may have my usual technical glitch in the first 10 minutes of the show. So, stay tuned for that. We'll see what happens with that. Again, the number here is 646-716-9514. And you can also join us in the chat room. Hello, chat room. I know there's a delay here, so I'm waving to the chat room. This is the show within the show. So we have nine people in there right now, and let's see who's in there right now. Dr. Val's in there. Our guest is in there, Grunt Doc, Enrico, Crazy Girl. We have a guest, Stephanie Marie, and Bongi is in there all the way from South Africa. He had a great, grand rounds at the beginning of the month. So I believe he said before it is, 4 a.m. where he's at. So a committed Dr. Anonymous listener. So really appreciate that. So I'm happy to be back. Definitely missed everybody, and I missed doing the show. But now I'm back, and I'm very excited that we have a great group of shows coming up for you. Now, for those of you who know me pretty well, you know that I'm a little bit obsessive about my stats, about how many people listen to the show and that type of thing. But the December stats for this show here, wow. The last two shows in December, I very much appreciate everyone's support of the show. I really see this show growing in 2008, so I'm very, very excited about that. How were your holidays out there? Call the show tonight. We can talk about it. The number here is 646-716-9514. As far as kind of the things I've been doing, as I talked about last month, I finally did join Facebook, and you can make me your Facebook friend. You can find that out on dranonymous.com. And I've been using Twitter a little bit more here, so we'll kind of see how that goes. And yes, for those of you who've been taking a look at my blog in the last 10 days or so, you've seen that I've started video blogging again, and we'll kind of see how that goes. I had not the very most positive experience a year ago, so we'll see what happens this year. I'm using a site called Vidler.com, and I've had a pretty good experience with that already. And you can kind of see some of my video blogs on my blog, DrAnonymous.com. And with a new year comes some new changes, and I've taken on some new projects at the beginning of the year here. So I may not be blogging as much, and I'm going to be concentrating a little bit more on the show. So if you don't see a lot of activity on my blog, I'm going to try to find a balance with all of this stuff. So let's see here. In addition to the MedBlog Awards, we're also going to be talking about predictions for 2008, specifically for the medical blogosphere. So that'll be fun. And here's kind of my wish list for 2008. Kind of my wish list to see what we can what I would like to see happen for the medical blogosphere this year. Obviously, I would like to see more people using video. It'll be interesting. And in fact, I do have on my Blog Talk Radio page. I'm going to try this Ustream.tv. Site here in a little bit. I think it gives a little bit more video than the Blog Talk Radio video, and it's obviously a bigger picture there. So I'm going to try that in a few minutes. So let's see here. I think this is our guest on the line here. So let us see here. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. So thanks for coming back on the show there, Nick.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How was your holidays, and how was your New Year?
Very nice. Very nice. I stayed in the city, partied with
yes.
my friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I guess you couldn't pawn off that grand rounds on anybody at Christmas, huh?
Well, you know, I know that it gets a little less traffic, and I couldn't... the Christmas spirit just kind of came over me, and I decided to just it was fun, and I didn't want to force anyone else to be up late Christmas Eve, you know, putting together links for an edition that was going to get less traffic anyway. And I enjoy hosting at least once in a while because it lets you kind of reconnect with some bloggers you haven't heard from in a while and discover some new blog. And it's a good process, and I enjoy doing it, and I think that was a good time to just sneak one in before the end of the year. And it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
So, did you have to work during the holidays? And
I actually, my residency has been pretty good about giving me the holidays off. So I visited my folks, and I got some projects done, some blogging done. It was an efficient, productive, and happy holidays with the family.
Oh, great, great. Oh, yeah, I have this Ustream.tv thing I'm going to try here. So I'm going to tell everybody in the chat room here, everybody's listening live, I'm going to turn this camera on, but I'm going to tell everybody to turn the audio on the Ustream stream to mute, because you're getting a lot of feedback when I turn this thing on. So I don't want everybody to get mad at me because they're getting feedback. So I'm going to hit start here, and I'm going to refresh this.
Have you put a camera in my apartment?
No, oh, okay. So I think it's working here a little bit. So I'll wait for the feedback from the chat room there. So let's talk MedGadget Awards here. This is the fourth year for this?
That's right.
And have you been involved with the awards or MedGadget for the last 4 years, or
The first year I was not. It was MedGadget was brand new. I think they debuted in the fall of 2004, and I didn't join the crew until spring of 2005. So I remember that year I thought it was, I didn't really know Michael Ostrowski at that point. I didn't know the MedGadget team. And I remember thinking that was like, it was an idea whose time had come. I didn't really, I was just kind of surprised. It kind of just was announced one day. But Michael and his brother Gene, they, from the start, I think they were very interested in keeping the voting process like safe and secure, and like they were interested in running a fair contest. And they did a great job that first year. And I was very happy to get involved in the subsequent years.
So what is your role with that then?
Sometimes, like last year, I didn't have much of a role at all. I was very busy with residency. But the year before, I was pretty involved. I got to write up the winners and like kind of, in the post, after all the votes are tallied, we kind of take the voting down and like, get to write up a little paragraph about the winners and the second runners-up. And, it's a nice post that introduces readers to some excellent, excellent blogs, and it's just a happy occasion, and I enjoyed writing that up. The site kind of, the voters kind of take center stage with this. So our role is very much in the background.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, I did some some research on it, and it's looking at the site over the past 3 or 4 years. I mean, this thing has really, really grown during that time. Because I remember last year, I was nominated for New Blog of the Year, and there were just so many great blogs out there. I don't even know. I probably don't even want to know what the process is to pick the finalists, because that has to be a very difficult decision, just to try to narrow it down to four or five blogs.
Yeah, it there's a lot of back and forth and debate and sharing of links and good posts that should be considered by the judges and stuff. There's so many nominees. Every year there's like more nominees, and I like to think that we're on top of the blogosphere. We're on Dr. Anonymous's show. We know each other. We link to each other's blogs. We do grand rounds, all that. But there's still like every time we do something like this, great new blogs come to our attention, and you look at their archives. Like they've been blogging for a year, and they're like saying all these great things, and it's kind of humbling in a way that you realize there's so many quality writers out there.
And I would imagine, as you get, as you've been involved with MedGadget and seeing these nominations every year, that you probably get some good blogs as far as trying to fill your schedule for Grand Rounds, I would seem.
You know, it dovetails nicely. I do see a lot of new candidates that, fresh blood. Yeah, definitely.
Let's see, I think they have, and I printed this out here, they have 6 or 7 categories. And I don't know, I'm not aware if these are the categories from the start, but it seems like a pretty good...
They pretty much are. These are the categories that Dr. O kind of set forth 4 years ago. The only change that I think there's been a little streamlining, I think, the only new category is Best Patients Blog. And I think we changed the wording a little bit about health policies and ethics. I think maybe we combined them, or they were described a little bit differently a few years ago. That's pretty much it. And I remember I've talked to Dr. O about this, and I wonder actually if he's going to be calling in, or maybe he's in the chat room. I'm just a little curious. I've wanted him to step up here and kind of take part in this, because he's the driving force behind these awards. We kind of resisted the urge early on to have, a best nursing blog and a best cardiology blog and a best emergency medicine blog, because it would really, there would be no end to it. And then there'd be a best interventional cardiologist blog and a best emergency medicine residency blog and a best medical student emergency medicine interest group blog, and it would never stop. And so I think we kind of drew the line at some broad categories that everyone knows and everyone kind of has in their mind, like, these are the blogs that I associate with medical blogging. Medical blogging should be about health policies, should be about medical research and technology, should be about stories and literary activities. And so these are kind of the categories that I think are worth keeping.
And I was looking at the discussion on the, particularly for the nominations, and they did make some other suggestions as far as mental health and some other requests for that. So, but I can see, I don't want to say a slippery slope, but I can see, different clinical areas requesting their own category, and that can be a very, very dicey situation.
I mean, there's 23 recognized medical specialties, and then once you when you consider all the subspecialties and all the different facets of healthcare, it really there could be 100 categories, no problem, and then it would be impossible to even vote for 100 different blogs, in 100 different categories. It just no one would really have the stamina. So I think we and though if you browse through the list of nominees and you browse through the list of the blogs that were originally nominated, there's great diversity, and it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be king of a tiny little castle. There can be small blogs from small specialties can still kind of rise to dominate their category. That's what happened a couple of years ago when I think the healthcare IT blog won for informatics and health technology. And that was a blog that I really didn't know about at the time, and I thought it was kind of like off in its own little corner of the blogosphere. But, they stepped up, and a lot of people voted for them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of curious on how people, get so much support. Because there's so many layers to the medical blogosphere. It's just like I'm just in my little corner here, and when I read MedGadget or especially these awards, I discover all these other kind of, I wouldn't say niche groups, but all these other communities out there that I wouldn't never have even seen before because I was never exposed to that. And I think part of these awards help to, you know, let people know that, you know, there are other groups or, you know, other groups within the medical blogosphere that do really great work. And it's really hard to let people know that there are so many great blogs out there other than something like this, like an awards recognition.
No, you're right. Well, we try with Grand Rounds, too, to kind of bring different corners of the blogosphere to attention. But, you know, this is a good way. I think you could browse through the list of blogs on this nominee page or the original in the comments section, the hundreds of blogs that got nominated, and you could find some great and interesting stuff that you might not have considered otherwise.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Nick Jeans from MedGadget.com, and we're talking about the 2007 MedGadget MedBlog Awards. The polls are open right now, and I was browsing over there before the show, and the polls have only been open, what, 24 or 36 hours, something like that. And some categories already have close to 400 votes, so... So a good start to the voting process. So I'm very encouraged by that. Do you know last year any idea of how many total votes or how much total participation that you had last year?
Oh, I don't know. Last year was a blur for me. I wasn't that involved in the process. Sorry. I know the year before, I remember writing that post late one night, and there were some, you know, what I recall is that some categories got like 10 times more votes than some other categories. I think the voters for like best medical blog and best new blog, and this is now 2 years ago what I'm recalling, had like 1,500 votes, 2,000 votes, something like that. And that was 2 years ago. But now, like for when you got down to best literary blog, I think they only had like 200, 300 votes. It seemed like... people had a lot of opinions about the big name categories, best picture, best director, that kind of stuff. But when it got down to you know, best screenplay, best sound effects, there were fewer votes.
Right. And it's kind of like the voting analogy too. The ballots at the top of the page you get the most votes, and as you get lower down the page, you get less.
Yeah. So we are predicting this year with the absence of the Golden Globes, I think we're going to get more voters for medical blogs. I think people are feeling the loss. You know, they're not going to be able to tune in to their favorite awards show, and they're gonna seek new outlets.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm angling my niche for this show here. Because,
oh yeah.
Because you know I don't have any writers. So I don't have anybody on strike, so there would be nobody in the chat room is crossing a picket line to enjoy the show tonight. So I think I'm going to try to needle in on that mark. And I think you and I discussed before too, kind of an Oscars preview show or something like that, a red carpet thing where we just kind of have people call in and say, hey, vote for this one or vote for that one, or I think this is great or I think this is not great. And that'd be an interesting concept to try to do.
Yeah. And I mean, we know the nominees now, and if, you know, I guess we need them to call in to us. There's no equivalent to have Joan Rivers stick a microphone in the face of Kevin MD or Surgeon's Blog or something and just ask him about his tuxedo or something. But I think, you know, if they could call into us, we could have some candid moments that I think readers would enjoy and listeners would enjoy hearing.
Yeah. So if I get some time... maybe right before the polls close or something like that. Maybe you and I can work out a time and have people call in and I don't know, have some kind of fear factor challenge or some kind of like celebrity apprentice something. I don't know.
what what I had always enjoyed growing up, and you know, I'm way past this now, but the MTV Movie Awards used to have like really fun categories, like you know, best fight scene, and you know, best kiss or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that like to translate, you could easily with some of the blogs, you could have like best flame war or something like that. You know, most provocative post that led to, like the most death threats in the comments section or something like that. And we could just single out some really remarkable bits of writing over the years.
Hey, there you go. That I think, yeah. See, I see that this is great. We can we're brainstorming right now. This is the Dr. Anonymous Parody Awards. So we can parody the MedGadget Awards. maybe we can work on that.
Shadow Underground. Yeah.
If you guys have ideas, call in right now. We're doing this on the fly here. It's 646-716-9514. I'll put you on the air right now, and then we can come up with some good categories here. Let's see. I'm peeking in the chat room here, and. You're discharged. It's kind of like you're fired. Most trollsome troll. Most commercial troll. This is great.
Yeah.
So if you guys can call in to 646-716-9514, we can have a lot of fun with this. So what other kind of fun categories can we come up with here?
Let's see.
Well, while you're thinking about that, I was looking at last year,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I'm thinking, I don't know if this is a good award to win, because last year's new blog was the Dr. Flea blog,
which
is no longer around, and until like this week, the best blog of the year, NHS Blog Doctor, was like missing in action.
Oh my goodness!
So,
that was a scary little subplot over the holidays. I remember that following that with great interest.
So it could have been like the I don't know, the what's that word? The award that you don't want to win.
the Ignoble Award, the Razzie.
The Retirement Award, or the.
Golden Parachute, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Congratulations, you won, but our track record says you're probably not going to be continuing at the end of the year, so...
The kiss of death.
Exactly, the MedGadget Kiss of Death Award.
Yeah, we can have a least likely to succeed. almost like the high school yearbooks. It looks like NHS Blog Doc is back, though, and that is a huge relief to a number of his fans.
Yeah, I saw included. That on Kevin MD, because Kevin MD knows everything.
Yeah.
So I saw that on his blog that NHS Blog Doctor was back. So you know, so maybe that distinction is not really that true, but we'll see. Let's see.
Yeah.
Well, let's kind of shift here, just for a few minutes, because I did want to touch on, and we talked about this on your last visit here on the show, is as far as, you know, good blogs. I don't want to put you on the spot and you know, pick out these specific, you know, blogs that are nominated. That wouldn't be fair of me to do. But as far as in general, you know, what do you think, or what do people tell you that are qualities of good blogs, especially good medical blogs?
You know, it's funny. I've been involved in a couple of. I've actually written about this topic for, you know, for my colleagues at Medscape, and I was involved over the summer with a new initiative at Elsevier. And oftentimes, it's the first question they ask, like, what makes a good blog? And it really depends on what the reader, I think, is looking for. I think you could put I like to characterize this first and foremost in terms of, like, numbers. I like the numbers. So post frequency is, I think, a huge, huge characteristic. It's when you have multiple posts per day, or certainly per week, but per day, that that tends to bring a lot of people back, and it tends to just accelerate the relationship between the reader and the author. And if you look at, like, you know, some of these top 100 lists of blogs and favorite blogs and so forth, it's no coincidence that the bloggers who write the most are often at the top of these lists in terms of traffic and in terms of, you know, spirited debates that are led and in terms of, you know, links ingoing, outgoing, all that stuff. It's that is, like, one metric that I think is kind of indisputable. And, you know, it kind of eliminates the need for aesthetics to come into play. But, you know, after that, after post-frequency, you really get into a lot of, I think, judgment calls. And do some people kind of, I think, read blogs to the same way they approach talk radio. They either want to, you know, get preached to, you know, they want to listen to like-minded people vent about the other guy, the enemy, the problems, whatever. They want someone to commiserate with, and that's why they like some blogs. Other people, the opposite. They like reading the blogs that irk them and challenge them and irritate them. And, you know, and there's whole other categories, you know, people who read to be stimulated, read to learn the latest news, read to listen to great stories, touching stories, something that, like, you know, makes them empathize. So all kinds of ingredients go into what makes a great blog, I think. But, you know, some of it is just metrics and some of it is actual very intangible.
It's a fine balance because I kind of go back and forth between frequency of a blog, frequency of posting versus a longer, more developed, less frequent type post, and you kind of see both of those, and both of those work very well depending on the style that you're looking for. There's some blogs that post once or twice a week, but their post is longer than what you would normally would expect, but the quality of writing is a little bit more intricate and a little bit more deeper, and though some of those get as much traffic as people who put, you know, three or four posts a day. So it's an interesting balance to see, you know, there's not really one formula out there, which I guess is great. And there's a good mix of what people are looking for, and it's really tailored to what you're interested in.
Yeah, and you look at someone like Dr. Ebert's Medical Gumbo. I don't think he's written, you know, a single post. Correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't visited his site. I think he's been on hiatus for a little while. But I don't think he's written a single post less than 500 words. And certainly he's got some that are 5,000 words, I think. But they're always, you know, very moving and very thoughtful and introspective. And I think you could easily say that he's among the best writers on the blogosphere. And then you have all the way on the other spectrum is like Kevin MD or something, who's, most of his posts are one or two lines, but he's got a huge following as well, and people love him and depend on him. But, you know, I think those same people would love to hear more from Kevin MD and would love to have him kind of write the occasional long, thoughtful post, and sometimes he indulges them, and people look forward to that.
Yeah, we'll get to, because he's coming on the show next week.
I know, I'm very excited for him.
And actually this week he had a very interesting post called Why I Blog.
Yeah.
And he even says he's pulling the curtain back. That's interesting language to use. So maybe he is warming up a little bit before the show next week. So there's always this mystique and this, you know, mystery around especially the most popular bloggers around, like Kevin MD. So I'm looking forward to that interview. So I've heard him on, you know, he's everywhere. I mean, even in the mainstream media.
Yeah.
I've read him in, you know, newspapers and podcasts, and So it'll be interesting to see him in a format like this, which is, you know, not a time crunch type thing. You don't have to have like a 4 minute soundbite or being edited, you know, by a reporter or something like that. So it'll be, and I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, and yet though, I think you point out something that's worth noting. If you had told me a couple weeks ago that you were going to be jumping more into the video blogging, you're going to give it another spin, and your face is going to be out there on all your, you know, all your posts about your upcoming radio shows. You're going to be just announcing stuff right into the camera. I would have said, wow, that might ruin the mystique of Dr. Anonymous. That, like, he will cease to be mysterious. He will cease to be like figure in the shadows. But I think you managed to pull it off in a way where you actually, like, even though your face is right there and you can see you talking, you still remain very mysterious. The lighting, the voice, it's all there. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. I mean, I remember, you know, you and I talked both on the show and on my Medscape interview, which we pumped up during the show when you were on before, I was really didn't want to do video blogs, and you know, I had a bad taste in my mouth, and it's a really bad experience. And you know, right after that interview, I'm thinking maybe I should get back into it again. So I don't know. I just I thought it would take me another year to try it again, and we'll see how it goes. And you and I talked during the last time when you were on the show how in real time my blog is kind of changing, and I feel it changing a little bit again since you're back on the show. No. But my work schedule is gotten a little bit busier since the first of the year, so I'm probably going to be having a little bit less written text blogging, and maybe doing a little bit more of this short burst videos for 60, 90, 120 seconds or something like that on whatever, in addition to show promotion. So I'm going to try that concept and see how different that is. I like tinkering with things, and I guess I get bored with certain concepts after a few months. So I'm gonna see how this goes for a while, and kind of see how people receive it, and we'll see. I think it's fun.
Very exciting. Looking forward to that. Yeah.
Why don't we kind of switch gears here? At the end of last year, at the end of December, everybody on the planet, you know, between Christmas and New Year's, there's no news at all anywhere. And usually what happens is every facet of life, there's usually a retrospective on 2007 and then predicting what's going to happen in 2008. So since this is the first show of the new year, I'm going to try this a little bit here, because it's always fun just trying to, you know, trying to predict, and no one's going to remember, you know, what we talked about as far as.
Yes. This isn't even being recorded, is it?
No, it's not even being recorded.
We're not even going to be able to play this back later. And
no, never, never. And I will edit out the parts where I am wrong. So, but yeah, just kind of some initial thoughts from your standpoint as far as, I mean, you see some trends in blogging, and you see some trends in, you know, all this Web 2.0 stuff. Specifically for the medical blogosphere, do you have any kind of guesses on how things will shift this year as opposed to last year?
Maybe, again, it's my interest in the political campaigns and stuff, but first, I have some straightforward predictions. I think that there will be more book deals for some of the more prolific bloggers. That's an easy thing to predict. I think there'll be more bloggers and more readers, and all that stuff, growth and diversity.
Dr. Anonymous.com.
Yeah.
Email me. Call me. Okay, go ahead. Next.
Yeah. But I think I think in relation to like healthcare in the news, that bloggers, medical bloggers, will take a more active role, and I see some more maybe crossbreeding between mainstream media personalities and bloggers. Meaning that I think maybe some bloggers will be blogging or donating their services for some of the candidates, some of the campaigners. And I don't know if these are like already established bloggers that are just going to start saying like, oh yeah, I was talking with a staffer from so and so, and I advised them this, and I wrote about this, and, you know, just going to change their position based on this or something like that, or whether staffers from the candidates are going to start their own blogs and start talking about healthcare. But I think that might be an interesting, you know, sideshow to the 2008 medical blog milieu. Just as 2004, I think, was a banner year for political bloggers, and our little sphere has kind of, our little corner of the blogosphere has come along, and 4 years later, I think healthcare blogging is going to, you know, intersect with national politics and take a stage on the mainstream media.
Do you still think that healthcare as an issue is still the number one domestic issue in the U.S. presidential campaign?
I don't know if it was ever number. I mean, it depends on who you are and you know what your finances are like. But it is hugely important to a number of people. You know, it's just I don't think anyone doesn't know someone who has been really affected by just the absurdity of our healthcare situation. So I think it's a very pressing issue for a number of people.
And I think it's
polarizing and like very, you know, just like I think abortion 10 or 20 years ago, I think approaches to healthcare are just very, people are very entrenched and very very passionate.
I think it's even more interesting with the what happened at the end of last year with the Medicare payment of physicians, and there was scheduled to be a 10% cut in reimbursement, and I guess what happened was that was halted, and physicians got a huge 0.5% bump in their reimbursement, but will expire at the end of June. So that'll be really knee-deep in the whole political thing this summer. So I think that'll be very interesting for the medical community and for advocacy groups, you know, like the AMA, and to see how the second half of 2008 will go, as including, you know, the presidential election.
So getting to our predictions, I think it's very tempting to imagine a scenario where, you know, some candidate's staffer is surfing the web looking for an articulate doctor who is explaining his or her plight, and you know, and they get snatched up and given a microphone, and they get some role in a commercial or in, I don't know, in some candidate's panel. So I could see that happening.
Yeah, and something that be interesting to see if, you know, medical blogs or medical bloggers kind of start to band together, either on an issue or around a candidate, around a party, as the year unfolds. So that'll be interesting to see that kind of play out in the blogosphere, to see who people line up with, whether, you know, whether it is one specific issue, whether it is a candidate or whatever. But I think you're right. I think medical bloggers are going to have an impact, and influence. I think medicine in general, they've been slowly learning as far as, you know, how to play the legislative game, how to try to get things done, how to try to gain support even of patients at the patient level. I think the malpractice as it's been playing out in the past, you know, 5 or 7 years or something like that in different states, has really made physicians educate their patients on some of this legislative issues.
Yeah, yeah. What other predictions are you thinking about?
You know, I'm very interested, and this kind of dovetails on your point, as far as banding together these physician social networks. I think the physician social networks out there, this is the year that they're going to really try to do something.
Is this like a dating thing?
Well, you know, like that Sermo site.
Oh, that kind of social network. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I get confused.
Yeah. That's something that the AMA, the American Medical Association, that's really something that they're behind.
And
I really kind of see them trying to utilize that network, you know, for political advocacy. I really predict that they're going to try to do that, and I think they're going to fail. my opinion is, and I'm probably going to be wrong, is that, I mean, I think they set that up, or they were associated with people that set that up, to really angle for this 2008 election. And I think at some point, that site over there is going to be a lot more, I mean, I'm not even.
Hello? Hello? Ah! Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello? Is anybody there? Hello? Hello? There's a little delay in the chat room, so I had to call back in. Let me see here. Let me click here. Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, that's my technical glitch for the show right there.
Okay, there's always one.
There's always one. So I have, see, it's so bad that I already had my backup plan with my other phone here.
You have another guest all lined up too, I bet.
No. Yeah, that was part of my plan to get rid of you. No.
I don't know if you're following the chat room, but I, as soon as we got disconnected, I played my War of the Worlds scenario. I said that agents from Sermo have stormed into my apartment, and
I think they stormed into my place.
They control the vertical. They control the horizontal.
It was it's like Die Hard or something.
There. Yeah,
they stormed in here.
It's not a
So. Well, yeah. So let's move on from that before they hit me.
Thanks.
Here's something I'd like to see for the blogosphere. I think it would be interesting to see a Wikipedia listing of the medical blogosphere.
You mentioned this on one of our emails leading up to this.
I don't know who would write it, and I don't want to write it, but
therein lies the problem.
That's right. I want somebody to do it. And I'm not saying you should do it. That'd be kind of interesting to see.
In theory, it sounds great, but I don't know. What function would it serve, first of all? It would just be a big hierarchical category thing. Here are the derm blogs. Here are the student bloggers. Here are the, you know, nurses. Here are the patients. Like, just a big tree where you readers can just click to find the kind of blog that they want to read about.
Yeah, I mean that's what Wikipedia is. I mean it's just a whole self.
We already have grand rounds, and we already have MedBlog awards, and I have a feeling that a lot of bloggers are very passionate, and wikis are anonymous, and I worry sometimes that it would be difficult to maintain the integrity of such an endeavor.
You're probably right.
And I don't want to be a pessimist. I just Wikipedia is a tremendous resource, but unless we had, a governing body of, you know who could set us straight about this is Bertalanne Mesko. I'm not even sure I'm saying his name right, but he's one of those. He's a medical student in Hungary, and he's got his own blog, Carnival, and
I'm afraid of the guy, actually.
Yeah, I think he's like 18 years old or something, and
yeah,
he's already accomplished, like he cured, I think, some rare disorder already. He's impressive.
I'm totally intimidated by him, and I'm scared of the guy, because I remember first reading him when he started his blog, and like a year later, he has like, 3,000 people visiting every day.
Yeah, we're going to, I'm sure he's going to disconnect our conversation now, too.
he posts for MedGadget now, doesn't he?
Oh, that's right. We neutralized that threat.
That's right. yeah, right. So how do you do that? You have him write for you. So.
it's an impressive, we're talking about mysterious characters, whether Kevin MD is going to, pull back the curtain, whether you are going to, emerge from the shadows in the black and white video and stuff. But Dr. Ostrovsky, who I was secretly hoping was going to call in tonight or something, he works very much behind the shadow. I've only met him once.
Yeah.
And he fed me so much vodka that I can barely recall the encounter. he's a very devious guy.
Isn't that how he hired you?
I signed something. I don't know. He got me. He hooked me.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of mysterious characters out there. I don't know. I read some of his comments during the nomination process, and I guess he sets the law. if somebody is not going to be nominated, then I guess he's the man. But hey, it's his award, so I mean, he can do whatever he likes.
But now the people can speak, the people can vote,
exactly.
And as I understand it, their voice will be heard.
I guess in the case of video, do you see that kind of, really catching on that much? Are medical bloggers really interested in video or not really?
Is it
more of an entertainment,
Absolutely, in terms of entertainment. I mean, if you look at these viral videos with, Diagnosis, Wanky Back, and all the songs that were popular around Christmas, the anesthesia song and that surgery song. I think that, we're developing our own little network of, hey, check out this link. It's a funny medical song. It's, worth 3 minutes here, 2 minutes there. So definitely. And, there's all kinds of potential with, medicine and TV and splicing things from ER and House and, all these shows that have already been on the air and, there's clips from all of them already online. So you can, just as, if you browse through YouTube long enough, you'll find, characters that you know and love from shows 20 years ago dubbed to say things that they could never imagine saying today and stuff like that. I think maybe some enterprising medical students will start doing that with clip shows from some well-known TV shows, or they'll film their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a good market for humor and stuff like that. But I don't know. I don't know how many people are as brave as you to, like, get in front of a camera and just speak their piece. We'll see. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I guess it kind of, maybe even parallels medicine itself as far as, you know, people either liking technology or not liking technology or being slow to use technology. So it'd be interesting to kind of see if, you know, if and when, you know, something
yeah.
like video kind of catches on
well,
or not.
I'll say, you know why my visit home to see the folks was so productive this year was because they upgraded from the dial-up to, they got a cable modem, you know, in the waning days of 2007, they, you know, finally got some broadband, and I was able to show them, you know, what all the kids are raving about, you know, with the YouTube and the whatnot. And I figured if my parents have broadband, you know, have a cable modem, then probably everyone does by now. So I think we've all got the bandwidth to appreciate video, and you know, the content will follow.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, look at what they're saying in the chat room there. They're sharing funny videos, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll even put it out to the chat room and the millions of people who will be listening to this on the archives. If you guys would like to see me do something or any kind of stupid request or something like that, maybe I can.
So help me out because I'm. Are you? Is it my my browser? I've a couple times to like do that Ustream thing, but are you visible? Are people able to see you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's I put it right in front of my radio show site, blogtalkradio.com/DrAnonymous, and
all right. Every time I click on that, like my I don't know if Time Warner is blocking that kind of activity or what, but my whole like I lose Gmail, I lose everything, and I gotta like reboot my cable modem. So I've stopped trying to look at you.
I think it's the Sermo people trying to get me.
Yes, they have a vested interest. But so I'm surprised the chat room should really really make the most of this, I think, and I don't know, make you do you have any like beverages there? Do you is there any sockets you could put
There is an idea. I'll do this next week for the Kevin MD interview. I will have the Dr. Anonymous beverage of the show. How about that?
That's a start.
Then I can maybe have somebody sponsor that or something like that.
Oh, there you go. Now that's Kevin MD would appreciate that, I'm sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So you know we'll be talking about that next week. That's something I wanted to ask you because I'm gonna ask Kevin MD about this next week. There's all this thing in the mainstream press that people are upset that physicians get these pens from drug companies, and they used to get a lot more before I was a resident, which I'm really upset about. I didn't get those golf trips like to the Caribbean like they did in the golden age of the pharmaceutical companies. But I guess as a general question, like the MedBlog Awards are sponsored by somebody, and
Brother Gallery,
I totally messed that up. And Kevin has a lot of sponsorship.
Yes.
Do people think if you're sponsored by somebody, does that affect your credibility as far as what you're saying on your blog?
Oh, I think people are profoundly affected. And I remember when I was pitching Grand Rounds to Medscape two years ago, I was meeting with George Lundberg, who used to edit JAMA and actually left the AMA and left JAMA, at least left the editor-in-chief position in JAMA over the, I think I'm probably simplifying this, I'm probably not doing him justice, but over the Sunbeam controversy about 10 years ago or so.
Yeah,
AMA wanted to sponsor a line of, appliances, I guess.
Okay.
And Sunbeam was like going to be the AMA's first foray into your kitchen. But there was a lot of acrimony and disputes, and George Lundberg feel very strongly about sponsorship and how it's, the dark past. And so one of the blogs I wanted him to look at to be like, hey, you should really get Medscape involved with these blogs because they're hip and happening and great writers and great ideas, fresh, new, all that stuff. And he's like, look at all these ads for snake oil. It's snake oil, I tell you.
Right.
And it was a moment. It was like, because, I kind of grew up with this stuff, and I kind of learned to filter it off to the side. If it's Google ads, if it's, blinky bright ads or something, I try to tune it out. But it can be very offensive to someone, and there's no doubt it really does kind of raise questions about integrity and stuff. But
Grunt Dog in the chat room says he removed the ads.
I think it's a personal choice. I think for Blog Barigmi, we've been ad free for several years, and really it hasn't made much of a difference to our financial bottom line. But a site like MedGadget really, I don't think we could attract the talent that we have and the writers and there's no way we could snare people like Bertalan Mesko without the promise of advertising revenue.
I mean, have you been approached specifically for something like Grand Rounds to have ad space or sponsorship or anything?
No, we talked about that briefly with Medscape at one point, and it was never very popular. And I don't think that'll ever happen. I did an April Fool's Day once a couple of years ago. Grand Rounds brought to you by GlaxoSmithKline, where every post was going to be vetted by a drug rep, and posts that highlighted Lipitor were going to be put to the top and so on. But it was just a joke.
Yeah, how'd that go over?
Some people were fooled and very angry. I got some choice hate mail. How could you? What have you done? You've ruined everything. and then like 2 minutes later, like, okay, you got me.
Yeah. I get emails. Not all the time, but I get 4 or 5 a month from somebody wanting to put ads on my blog, and I didn't feel really. I don't know. It didn't really feel good to me to do that. And from what I've been reading, potential revenue from that is not even really worth it.
Yeah.
Here's
the conundrum I deal with. Not that I've made my peace with my decisions, but I get emails from like publishers saying, we have a new book. We will send you a free copy of this book. You just read it and blog about it. That's all we're asking, And it's like, I like to read. I would probably not buy this book otherwise, I have a limited budget. But hey, so I've gotten like 5 or 6 free books in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not receiving any cash from the publishers and not getting any kickback, but I got a free book.
I'm thinking that that'd be the only case that I would accept something. Is if somebody would want to talk about their book or something like that, I'd probably read it, and then I'd probably give it away or something, have it a prize or something to somebody in the chat room or somebody who calls in or something like that.
Yes, let's do that right now. I would feel much better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who wants The Diagnosis of Love by Maggie Loeffler?
Don't call me. Call her.
Oh, some lucky chum winner. I'm going to put this in the mail. Like in 5 minutes.
Hmm.
Yeah, this is a great book. I got easily got 2/3 of the way through this book, and let me tell you, it's a good book. It stars a female doctor who, you know, is trying to figure out love. She wants to know what love is.
Hey, the Dr. Anonymous Book Club. How about that?
There you go.
That might have been done once or twice before.
Mm. Oprah's got nothing on you.
That's right. You know, I might even take you up on that. I might say, hey, send a book my way, and then I'll give it away like that. we'll come up with the best parody award, and then I'll give the
that's
book.
Right. That's right. If you can't win the ScrubsGallery.com grand prize, at least you can get some Pulp Fiction.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I took myself out of the running of the from being nominated because I'd probably lose.
Yes.
When the nominations are open, I put on my blog, please don't nominate me because last year I was nuts.
Yeah, and
I tried to market that thing on my blog, and I got like one vote. And I don't think it was even me.
So many people were hurt by when you lost that I don't want anyone to have to go through that again.
That's right.
Because you love too much.
Yeah, and I couldn't have this show then because I wouldn't feel right, you know, having a show talking about the awards and I'm a finalist. That wouldn't be very good.
Yeah, yeah. And likewise with MedGadget, if we didn't sponsor the awards, then we would be up for pretty much every category. So it's a good thing that we're sponsoring the whole thing.
Yeah, I do like the prizes. The Kindle looks kind of cool.
Yeah,
I've been reading a lot of that over the holiday season. How it's a very polarizing type gadget. Some people love it, and some people hate it.
God, it reminds me of the whole digital camera thing, like 10, 15 years ago, whatever, where some people were like, oh, it'll never have the warmth, the musty odor, whatever. Like, I don't know. It seems clear to me that, the first version of Kindle is not going to knock off, the publishing industry. But I think in 10 years or so, we're going to have some pretty cool products.
That's your prediction.
That's my prediction. Saying it here now in a format that probably won't be playable in 10 years, but that's my prediction.
So you got anything else? I think I've got topics and run out of time. I couldn't coax anybody in the chat room to call in, so that's
they're not. That's what I was wondering. I was like, you know, I as we were talking, I was kind of thinking, are you blocking them off so that you can hear more of my blathering? Because I liked it last time when people called in. I kind of thought Grunt. You know, I've never heard Grunt Doc's voice.
Oh yeah, well he was on the show. You can. You can at least hear him on.
He did a show. When did he do a show?
Yeah, this was last month. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to hear Grunt Doc's voice.
Yeah, you got to go listen to him because
we almost saw each other at a conference because we're both in emergency medicine.
Yeah,
and a couple times we've like I went to one conference and he didn't go, and then he went to the next one and I didn't go.
He has this great Scottish accent.
He was on 2 weeks ago apparently, and. Okay.
Well, he's like yelling at you in the chat room there, man.
Yeah. He was making fun of me before for having Christmas off. I earned that Christmas off. I did sick you in July.
Well, I think we guilted somebody into calling in here. Let's see.
Oh, good.
Hello, who's this?
This is Enrico.
Enrico!
I leave no, you threw down the gauntlet. I leave no challenge unanswered.
You know, I have to tell you that you have one of the most popular and listened to shows of all of them.
Well, of course, Misery Loves Company. Hello,
because you are the man.
That was a moment in talk radio blogging. That was impressive. How are you, Enrico? Happy New Year.
Yeah, once you give give people the update, and I know it's not good news, but you at least can give us an update what's going on.
Well, I kind of want to keep that on the details on the QT, mainly because it's developing, but things are a little better. I still may very well be returning back to the States in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully it will be with something in hand, not excluding my dignity, but I don't think this is going to have the happy ending. I'll just say that. But I don't think it's going to be a hitchhiking on the side of the street kind of a thing. It's just somewhere in between, and when you get this money this deep into a big problem like that, you just start reevaluating what's important to you, and just take a different look on things. And I don't know. We'll just take it one step at a time. But I promise that once everything's, I wouldn't really want to go into details about what's happened until I at least know what's going to happen next or that kind of a thing. So I'm exploring my options still.
Well, you promised me before you call that press conference that you come on this show.
That's right.
And you'll be the Dr. Anonymous exclusive.
You will have the exclusive scoop, I promise.
Well, hey, I appreciate that.
I got what Charles Gibson, calling all the time too. So I told him, I got Dr. A.
Oh, really? Oh, well, hey, at least it's not Katie Couric or something. I don't know. I don't even know what that means. But no, I mean, seriously, after that show, I was very heartened by. The post on your blog and the outreach people did to say, well, I know this person here and I know this person here. I can connect you with a contact.
Yeah.
Maybe if it doesn't work out there, you have at least, a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, at least another route so you're not totally stuck. I was very touched that all that happened after that.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I mean, everybody, it's one thing just to give goodwill, which is certainly not to be sneezed at, but, I did have a couple of people, some of your listeners, in fact, regular listeners, and just some other people online write me privately and actually try to put me in touch with some people. But the reality is that, it is a very, for example, if I were to have some opportunities back in the States, even if I wanted to, let's say worst case scenario, I wanted to start over in the States and there was a med school, that I could apply to, the application process has already passed. All the applications are due, people apply about a year in advance. So it would be about a year and a half that I would be, somewhat idle, just waiting for the opportunity to go again and then apply. It's crazy. The time, it was bad timing for me for this to happen because it was right before the Christmas holidays. So, and people are going on vacation and, even people who might have been in a position to help, may not have been right on, that sort of thing. But it's okay. The important thing is that I got to connect with some people that I didn't have before. And I really appreciate all the help and support that I got.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I think what comes through in this, Enrico, is that, you come across, you're very genuine, you're very, you come across as extraordinarily talented from your blogging and your tech work and all your stuff. And I can't help but think you are going to end up on your feet and really thrive in some new setting. I wish the best for you, and I can't help but think that you're going to manage to accomplish something great.
Thanks, thanks.
And you're involved in this MedGadget thing. How'd they get you on this deal?
I was another threat
did you get
neutralization.
You listened up to and.
Yeah, no, I wish. Actually, I got a bunch of pens, and I
said, the pens we were talking about. We were talking about the drug company pens before, and I was like, I don't know if he knows about the MedGadget pens. And there are a lot of MedGadget pens.
I would have preferred the vodka, but I'll take the pens. I was asked. I think what started a lot of the thing is actually there was a lot of talk earlier about Sermo, and it might have been on some people's minds before when this was starting, but then I don't know. I have no real. I'm not even on Sermo. I'm not a physician, so I could have easily hacked my way in. Clearly, but I really had an issue because I have a great interest in privacy. I was very close to getting a very important industry certification in information security, and so that's sort of a passion of mine in my IT life. And this whole aspect of what they were doing and how they were doing it, I was really sort of hacking me off. And I just sort of had sort of a modest proposal, if you will, post on my blog, which was insanely long, but there was no real way to do it well without giving people, you know, the requisite tech background to understand what I was really talking about. And that plus some other commentary that I was giving on a few other industry sites that some MedGadget people were also participating in, Dr. O and Gene Ostrowski as well, his brother. And I don't know, just one thing led to another, and MedGadget people and I started intercommunicating more, and they just asked me on. And
Was there vodka involved? Was it?
That's what I'm saying. I wish, but yeah. Once I get stateside again, I will take them up on their as of yet given offer.
Man,
excellent.
Vodka fan. I'll put that out there right now.
That's what I'd love to see this year: a med blog meetup somewhere. That would be. We would be thrown in jail. having so much fun.
There will be laws broken, I will promise.
Exactly. So you know, we'd have to have people bail us out, and then, right. You know, and then we
talk about plan B. Yeah.
We'd be on COPS, you know, and it wouldn't be
bad docs, bad docs.
Exactly. So, all right. I think I'm going to close up. You guys have anything else for me?
I just want to make sure you got at least one caller.
That's right, man. You come through in a pinch, man. You are the man, because
we got 15, 20 minutes? I mean, 10 minutes of our time?
I think we're in secret bonus time already. Is that right?
Oh, okay.
I think people got, because I put in the fudge factor of 90 minutes. So, but I don't know if I could talk 90 minutes.
I can talk another 15 minutes.
You know, you greatly underestimate me always, Dr. A. I can easily keep going.
Well,
and,
no, I mean, for the last show, Enrico and I went like 91 minutes or something.
Yeah, well, he has the compelling personal narrative. I just like to blather on about anything. So we can talk about weighty substances. We can talk about trivia, which
you know
is what we're doing before.
I'm really going to look at my schedule. We should really have a red carpet MedGadget. Award show something or other in the next 2 weeks.
We'll definitely bring the bling.
Exactly.
There you go. There.
Yeah. And you should do, everybody should get a Ustream.tv page, and then I can see like 15 people on my screen. How nuts would that be?
It would be so nuts that I think my computer would crash. I know that getting one person on my screen is very taxing, but with maybe with Enrico's help, it could happen.
I have a fur-lined hat. I've just been waiting for the right occasion to use it for.
Mm. And I have The Diagnosis of Love by Maggie Loeffler.
That's what I'm going to do this year. The Dr. Anonymous Prize Closet. How about that?
Yeah.
Or the regift closet. How about that?
So look, while we have you on the air, and you know, while the spotlight, you're burning in the spotlight.
Oh, here we go.
No. And I'm not doing any video challenge. If I had known about this, though, I would have had you, you know, do the entire interview with like your head on the table or something. Or I don't know. I don't even see your setup, so I don't know how to take advantage of you. But are you wearing a hat?
No.
Right. Next show, you're going to have a MedGadget pen, and it's going to be like in your ear, you know, like how those people wear the pens in their ears.
You know what I should get for the next show when Kevin MD is on?
Mm-hmm.
I should get a big Sermo t-shirt.
I
love Sermo.
Kevin is sponsored by iMedExchange.
Yeah, well,
actually, if you have Kevin MD on, you should have a shirt that says, I love universal healthcare.
There you go.
Don't get me
I
in
love
trouble
single
already,
payer.
Man. You guys are getting me in trouble already.
Single payer now.
Yeah. Okay, don't call in next week.
No, here, the polls are open for the when is the actual announcement of the winners? When did the polls close
Well, you guys are part of it. You guys should
know.
Yeah,
you know, look, there's a lot of, I don't even know what days I'm working, okay? We announced the winners on Wednesday, January 23rd, 2008. And
okay.
The polls closed on Sunday, January 20th.
20th.
So sometime between the 20th and the 23rd, we should have another radio show. And by we, I mean you. I think
you guys have to help me. Because I need all the help I can get.
No, we're impartial judges. We can't get involved.
Exactly. My name is not there for a reason.
Is your name not there?
Because nobody cares. I'm kidding.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so, yeah, my people will call your people because I am not talking for 90 minutes. I can talk for 9 minutes.
I've already got 81 minutes down.
Yeah, but I can't
another
do that
night.
By myself. I know, I'm whining. I hate when I start whining. Well, let me look at my schedule and I think
we got to force you to commit now while Dr. Val is still listening.
Dr. Val and the crickets.
It still says there's 11 users, but only Dr. Val. Grunt Doc is still commenting. Scanman is openly questioning whether you have the stamina to continue the 90 minutes.
Uh-oh.
Well,
yeah.
I took my Viagra, so I'm fine. You know I had to say that. Come on.
Oh, my God. I didn't know it was going to be that kind of conversation.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to start charging $3.95 a minute.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's 10:30 Eastern, you know, everybody's watching ER now, so, you know, nobody's listening.
Did I dial a 646 number or a 900 number?
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah. Dr. Oh, yeah. There's another sponsor. Here you go. See?
There you go.
I think I've guaranteed myself that I will have no sponsorship. Or except for Nick's book there. What's the name of that book?
The Diagnosis of Love by Maggie Loeffler.
There you go. Hey, that there's a concept for a show. The Love Doctor.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dr. Anonymous, the voice in the middle of the night, he tells you things.
Yeah, that's my 2 a.m. show. You guys don't know about that?
I didn't know about that. That's the other show you do.
Yeah, that's 976, yeah. Is there anybody listening? Is there anybody left in the chat
room? Yeah, I think they're having – I'm following now what's going on in the chat room, and they're
claiming
there's
own... too much testosterone on the call right now.
Yeah. Like 10 minutes ago, Dr. Val asked, are there any women in MedGadget? And I think not only she knows the answer now is no, and I think she also knows why now.
Well, I think Enrico counts, doesn't he?
Ooh.
Oh, you know how to say
that.
Come on, man.
Why did I need to deserve that?
He had all this sympathy and you attacked him? Like,
oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not messing with, Dr. O, man.
It was the fur hat comment.
He
went the wrong way.
He's going to reach through the computer and choke me.
Yeah.
If the Sermo people don't get me first.
Yeah.
Yeah, so next week, yeah, I'm gonna have a some kind of creative T-shirt and a hat. What do you think?
It's a start.
Maybe Grunt Doc should send me like a one, you know, like a hat or something.
Like fatigues or something. He's got that's his little logo is like a combat helmet, right?
Combat helmet?
Or a hat?
No, combat hat and a cowboy hat.
Sorry, I'm on the RSS reader. I don't go to the websites that much anymore. Here. I have unintentionally insulted Grunt Doc like several times tonight.
Yeah, he's gonna.
All right, now look, I'm looking at the page now. It's a cowboy hat and a little camouflage painter hat, baseball cap.
He's never gonna host for you ever again.
Camouflage baseball hat. Oh my god,
you're toast, man.
What team is that?
Oh my gosh!
And, Grunt Talk. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of bloggers that could easily overpower me, but I think Grunt Talk could kill me the fastest of all the bloggers.
Of all the bloggers.
All the bloggers.
There's an award right there. Which blogger could kill you the fastest?
Yeah. That's a good race. Like, Surgeon's Blog, you know Sidney Smith. I think he served in Vietnam.
Sidney Schwab.
I'm getting med pundit and now I'm going to die. Now I'm dead. But
you're gone.
Are you Nick? You're one of the most influential bloggers out there.
Yeah, you know, I got up at 5:30 today, and I'm sure Surgeon's Blog was up well before that, cutting people open. But I'm saying he could kill pretty quickly if he wanted to. I think Army trained surgeon. I think even Grunt Doc would have his hands full with Sidney Schwab.
You know who would
win? Your spleen would be gone before you know it.
Yeah, but you know who would really win?
Who's that?
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris.
Oh, Lord.
Chuck Norris can... no, I don't.
Yeah. Chuck Norris doesn't read books. He stares them down until they cough up the information.
Yeah. Oh, see, that's what I need. That's my next marketing ploy there.
You need a creepy celebrity just kind of...
The Dr. Anonymous Chuck Norris sayings or something.
No, I think to really sell this gimmick of the video thing, you know, on the air, live on the air, you know when Huckabee won the Iowa caucuses, Chuck Norris was just kind of standing behind him, like smiling really creepily. I don't know if you saw that.
That's all he needs to do, though.
That's all he can do. But if you were to have Chuck Norris,
that'd kick you in the head.
Yeah,
it's like as you're broadcasting, you'd be like, by the way, this gentleman behind me is Chuck Norris. He's just hanging out in my basement, you know, whatever. And then I think people would tune in.
I think so. Hey, how about this? How about this? The Dr. Anonymous run for the presidency.
Hey,
I can do what Stephen Colbert wanted to do. He's just run on the internet.
Yeah.
And what ticket would you run on?
My platform would be. Vodka.
Single payer now. Sorry, no.
That's what it would be. It would be alcohol. How about that?
A blog in every living room.
Yeah. Yeah.
A blogger's party.
We can have people suggest what my platform would be.
And Dr. Val would chime in.
Man, you're not making a lot of friends tonight, man.
No, I'm just saying.
You're picking on everybody.
No, I would love for Dr. Val to chime in. She chimed in when I called last time.
Well, we had a roundtable already set up for the holiday show, which didn't get to happen.
Yeah.
And so Val owes us already.
Really?
Is that why did that? Can I ask a personal question? But I was really looking forward to that show.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Christmas tunes. I have some like obscure favorites.
Yeah.
And I was gonna call in and be a dork and everything, and then I was bummed that it didn't happen. Why didn't it happen?
You want to take that?
Oh, okay. Well, no. Well, first of all, Dr. Val was sick.
Yeah. Dr. Val was sick.
Yeah, and so not great on the radio when you got laryngitis and other things. And then what was the Dr. A had another reason, and then I had called Dr. A, this is all true. I called Dr. A earlier in the afternoon before the show saying, "Look, you know, this is going on with school and I'm going to do the show and everything, but you know, I'm just not being in the most holiday cheery mood right now, but I gave him all my stuff and, you know, we had my song ready to go and everything that he had asked us to do. And he just decided, because since Dr. Val was going to be on there and some other reasons, he just decided to change the focus of the show. But my understanding, at the time, I thought the holiday show was getting postponed a week. I didn't realize that when we were doing, when he made that decision, that was going to be the last show of the year. I still thought I was coming on the air with Val the next week.
Yeah, and there was still time. There was still time to do the show. Yeah.
I know.
Oh, man. He's like the Grinch. He stole Christmas.
Oh, my God. Oh, so I have to make it up to my listeners now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I want the panel show. I think that's where the, you know, that's where the excitement lies.
Okay, well, okay, what about
Christmas
what about
Story is the best movie ever. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you.
Okay, what about this? We'll have the Christmas show on Valentine's Day. How about that?
Ooh.
Because I think Valentine's Day is on a Thursday.
I think it's on a Tuesday.
Oh, is it?
I think because I think we have a host for Grand Rounds on Valentine's Day.
Please don't make us pick our favorite Lifetime love story movie.
I've already arranged that the theme is going to be the diagnosis of love.
And you'll give away the book finally, so you know.
At last, everyone who submits a post gets a page from the book.
Okay, I'll have to make it up. Maybe how about this? Maybe even with each holiday, I'll have a panel, and we'll just talk about whatever.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Your music. You can talk about hats. I don't know, all kinds of stuff.
We'll have a production meeting because I think our live feed just cut out. So
yeah, they're on the chat room there.
They cut out. Yeah.
So we can really make fun of people now because yeah. they won't know until.
I'm gonna type. I still have more to say.
Those GD sons of no, I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, I think we're done there, gentlemen.
Well, I will. Well, this is still part of the archive, though.
Exactly, it is.
So we have
secret
to...
bonus time. Here we go.
Yeah, Nick and I are so familiar with the secret bonus time because we did it last time, and I think our secret bonus time went 90 minutes because we were scheduled 60.
But that was the best part.
That's right. Yeah, because we teased the whole thing for the whole show, and you really need to see this. This Medscape interview.
Clearly, it was one of the... Oh, no, so, you know what's funny? I'll forget it. It's too convoluted. But
no, do.
No, I don't even remember all the details, but, like, I get this little thing at the end of the year from Medscape about, like, their top 10 posts and stuff, and it's just always interesting which posts make it into, like, which grand round, which pre-rounds articles get the most hits, and... It actually has nothing to do with us as bloggers. It has everything to do with how catchy the headline is. And so, like, I really thought, like, when I had the CEO of Beth Israel, Deaconess in Boston, like, I thought, like, that was going to get a ton of hits. And really, it was when I interviewed a well-rounded med student. and my editor just chose the title, Is It Possible to Be a Well-Rounded Doctor? And that was, like, it had nothing, like, nothing about blogging in the title, nothing about this week's Grand Rounds, nothing. It was just, like, people just clicked and clicked and clicked on that because they were just curious. And so even though, despite the hype, Dr. Anonymous, despite our show, late November, early December, I forgot when we did it.
Yeah, November.
Despite all the hype from the show, like, I don't think my interview with you made it to the Medscape top 10.
Oh, man.
I know. Well, we do 50 a year, so it's going
we'll
to be...
We'll have to work
statistically,
on
it. It's just hard to get into the top 10. Nor did my interview with you, Enrico, although I think it was a great interview.
But you mean the one from this last one?
Yeah, our last interview didn't make the top 10.
Oh, yeah, well, that's... Which one did?
So it was this medical student in Canada, wandering visitor.
Oh yeah, that's.
Oh
a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just would have never guessed that one. It's just kind of strange. What do you? How did you guys get a good amount of traffic from Medscape?
Oh yeah, tons.
No, I don't.
No, really? He means for Grand Rounds.
For Grand Rounds. Oh yeah.
Okay, that's good. I like to hear that. You know, it makes it all worthwhile. But
yeah, because I think you told me that I would get another bump the week after when the interview was published, and that's exactly what happened.
Okay, and was that bump like commensurate to the first bump bigger or smaller? Do you remember?
A little bit smaller.
And you know, that's what is interesting is that I think it really depends on the headline of the article. Like, I mean, I've done over 100 of these now, and I can't find any pattern. There's a couple of patterns actually. There's different MedPulse emails that go out to the subscribers, and if you're a surgeon, you always get like the surgery med email, and if you're a medical student, you get the med student MedPulse. And the editors all get together and they swap stories. And they basically, the med student editor is the one I work with the closest, and she like emails the other editors and say, I got a pre-rounds here. It's about a surgeon. So maybe the surgeons are going to be interested in that. And they say, oh yeah, we're going to put that on our MedPulse. And the CEO of Beth Israel got onto a lot of different med pulses, but for some reason, I guess the headline wasn't catchy, and so it didn't get quite the exposure I thought it would.
Hmm. I'd like to interview that guy. I don't know. I mean, I've.
Oh, that guy was cool. Yeah.
You know, Paul Levy.
Yeah. I think I wonder if it's Levy or Levy. I talked to him on the phone. I just don't remember. But yeah, he's awesome.
Hmm.
He blogs like every day.
Yeah, I mean, does the guy work?
He did this one post that showed what his daily schedule was.
Yeah,
it was insane. It had a granularity of like 10 minutes.
Yeah, the guy's nuts.
He's got everything like mapped out. Just my time management's horrible. I crash and
turn
before 8 o'clock.
I know.
I'm maintaining that not so much rigorous, but just that hyper-constrained schedule, you know, 20 minutes on this, 10 minutes on that, 15 minutes on that, I'd go nuts.
I know, and think of all the stuff that, like, you wouldn't do, and it would gnaw at you, like, oh, I didn't quite finish that, or whatever, or like, oh, I just kept talking to Dr. Anonymous, I'd never shut up. I budgeted an hour for this, it's already 10:36.
Great. Right.
Yeah.
Have I bathed today? I'm kidding.
You know, so something I do want to do this year is
bathe.
Is do well, yeah. That.
Year's resolution.
What Nick and I talked about back in November is kind of having a round table like this, you know, just because you guys. I mean, I'm promoting you guys, or maybe it's a demotion. You guys are now Dr. Anonymous pundits.
Pundits.
Oh.
Congratulations!
Hey,
awesome.
So we'll like have a pundit meeting like once a month or something like that, and then we'll talk about nothing having to do with medicine. We'll just make fun of other bloggers.
There you go. But by being pundit status, that means that anybody can have an opinion, but people want to hear what the pundits have to say.
Exactly.
We're the spin doctors.
Exactly. Oh, hey, there you go. We're the spin doctors.
That's genius.
We are the Ministry of Propaganda and Well-Placed Words.
Oh man, I'll have to listen to that on the archives. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know I'm looking for different concepts, you know, to keep the show fresh. You know, other than interviewing, you know, one blogger a week or something. I mean, just to kind of mix things up. So, you know, every so often I'll call you guys in, and then we'll make fun of bloggers, and then try to coax them to call into the show and fight with us.
There you go.
Be like a blog peanut gallery, a blog gang. Like others would fear us, and yet secretly want to join us. And
exactly.
It'll be the Dr. A. You've Been Served show.
That's right. See, that's what I really want to explode. The medical blogosphere this year with just, you know, silliness.
Hmm.
Because
yeah.
You know, there's no way I can be a serious blogger. So
you know,
I am the court jester of the medical blogosphere.
I can see how you see yourself that way. I mean, and that explains your relationship with
Enrico.
No, Musings of a Distractible Mind, because I kind of always, I do picture him as a little bit of a court jester himself until, I mean, he has some, like, thoughtful, kind of serious religious posts, but yeah, like, he has a very, you know, a very silly streak to him as well.
Yeah. I think Dr. A posts some nice, thoughtful posts here and there.
Yeah, no, that's true. We can't pigeonhole ourselves. I mean, that's the problem.
No.
We're all so multidimensional and so complex and rich characters.
Yeah, see, I don't want to be bad at one thing. I want to be bad at multiple things. I want to stretch my horizon, you know. All right, I think we're done.
Yeah, you know, and I posted to the chat room that, like, we're still talking, and they just didn't care at all.
They rolled their eyes at it.
I did turn up the audio feed on my Ustream.
So they
can hear me, but they can't hear you guys.
Okay.
So at least
I see how this works.
At least there's some audio for the people in the chat room. You know,
the least you could do is turn your speakers on so it goes through the mic feed a little bit. You know, give us some props.
Oh, man. Well, because I love the chat room.
Dr. A.
I love you,
like,
guys.
So all they can hear, though, is I feel so used. I feel like I'm just, like, propping up.
Actually, Nick, you shouldn't, because the let's just face it, the strangeness of this conversation, but coolness. Imagine that they're only hearing his little piece, his little contribution.
They think
he's nuts.
Yeah. Well, I am nuts, and all they're hearing is just me laughing. So how about this? I'm going to say this here. We're making fun of all the people in the chat room right now.
Oh Lord.
So they'll have to listen to the archives. How about that?
If I were a cleverer person or a more caffeinated person, I would somehow steer the conversation to get Dr. A to say something embarrassing about himself, and something that would only, that, like, the folks in the chat room who can hear him would just really, I don't know. Wait a minute.
I think Crazy Girl is flirting with me.
Yeah.
I have groupies now. I mean, other than you guys.
The geeky girls are way more fun than the testosterone team. Not you, that's it.
All right. I'm really done. I gotta do that thing. You know, that whatever that thing is.
The thing with the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've been. I mean, you've been up what, like 30 hours now?
I've been up the better part of the day.
See this, but this is when you're at your best, sir Nick.
And I don't think the folks in the chat room would say that.
And then you can just say whatever you want.
I think we are lucky that Enrico came in to salvage what's left of the conversation.
I am the buffer in the solution.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, you're the reagent, the catalyst.
I'm the catalyst.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm definitely bringing beverages to the next show. But Enrico, you have to call in at minute 7, not minute 70.
Well, honestly, I will say this. I didn't call because I figured, well, two things. One, I want to hear someone else call, see what the tenor of the discussion is going to be. Number two, I felt kind of weird about calling because it was like, I didn't want it to be like, well, we have Nick, who's the representative of MedGadget for this. And then, well, I call in, and while I'm not, you know, at the Nick, Dr. O level at MedGadget, you know, my name is associated with yours. I didn't want it to be like we're going in here.
You're his bellboy.
And that's, I mean, are you on the Politburo mailing list?
The Politburo?
Seriously, no. Maybe I'm revealing the inner workings of MedGadget to
Yeah, I was wondering about. I was like, don't say that. Don't say that.
All right, no. The Politburo is. I mean, I don't even know who's on the Politburo. Like, I know that Well, now I know that you are. Dr. O is. Gene is. I think
if you type list at Politburo. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to give you instructions how to find the list on the show.
Yes. So I kind of sent an email to everyone saying we should all participate because I haven't posted in 2008, and yet somehow I'm like the poster boy for MedGadget when I really wanted Dr. O to step up, and that just, I guess that...
He's a slacker.
No, I think he's just mysterious, and he's cultivating the mysterious image.
But I'm building my image as the most hated person in the medical blogosphere here. I'm just taking shots at everybody.
You went from court jester to just like...
Yeah.
God, why is he so mean?
He is a court chameleon.
I think I lost all my guests now because no one's going to come on the show now. I'm like, oh, you're mean.
He's going to pull a Bill O'Reilly.
Have you been following? All right, you got to. I'm sorry. Well, maybe next. You should mention to Kevin MD, ask him about this Glenn Beck thing, because I know he was blogging about it.
Oh yeah, he'll have something to say about that.
What you guys?
It's gonna stop at some point.
Wait, do I gotta ask the hard questions? Is that what you guys are saying?
Well, I honestly don't know. I think he's got a thick skin. I mean, I've interviewed him a couple times now, and
I'm afraid of the guy.
Afraid of the guy in a completely different way than I'm afraid of Birdland. Like, Birdland, I'm afraid of his awesome potential. Like Kevin, I'm afraid of like he can actually destroy us like right now. not years from now, but like right now.
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably circling my place right now, fighting with the Thermo people to see who's gonna get me.
Well, if you should have a code word next week. If you feel like you're in danger, just like type something into the chat room, and then like Enrico and I will come in and try to.
Okay, how about this? Save me.
Save me.
Is that subtle enough?
Kevin MD is coming after me. Please. One line on his blog could like destroy my blog.
That's right. And then
one mention from him and boom, all my traffic is gone.
Then I'd have to call Chuck Norris and then he'd have to save me.
Yeah. No, I wish you luck with that. I think it's going to be a great interview. And I think you're very good at feeling people out and seeing what they'll accept and what they won't accept, and I think you'll do fine. And I think he'll be forthcoming. I think he knows his talking points and has things he wants to communicate, but then beyond that, he'll have some interesting things to say.
Okay, let's face it. Kevin MD is a interviewee, veteran.
Right.
He's at the level where he calls ahead to the people interviewing him and tells them what snacks he wants in the green room, that sort of thing. Exactly what model of limo comes to pick him up, that sort of thing. So just make sure you get that checklist and make sure your people got talking to his people and make sure he's copacetic and all that.
I've heard he really likes the Red Bull. that's in his list. Did you guys not see the list?
It has to be chilled to exactly 34 degrees.
Exactly. Yeah, Red Bull and vodka.
That's the epic battle between Kevin MD and MedGadget. which
those guys would sponsor my show? I would welcome that sponsorship. Mm-hmm. Red Bull and vodka. Brought to you,
Dolly from Dr. O.
One foot on the brake and one foot on the gas.
But in my experience, to get these the interview veterans comfortable, and I try, and I'm with varying degrees of success, but I think they won't feel comfortable until they get through their talking points. And I think Kevin has a bunch, and just like let him kind of say what he came to say and answer like the questions that he has prepared for, and start drinking and maybe and, like relax the atmosphere a little bit, and then see maybe you'll get him to reveal some juicy details.
Great. I'll pipe in some music to the audio feed there and loosen him up a little bit.
Yeah. What's astonishing is that I kind of build up this thing between MedGadget and Kevin MD, like the two biggest med bloggers, and one is like a 10-man operation, and one is just like one guy. I don't know. I think his traffic is nearly equal ours. I don't know what his revenues are, but there's a lot of I think he sometimes scopes us out and we scope him out, and it's very interesting.
Oh no! I mean, everybody knows. I mean, he outsources to Jamaica. I mean,
yes.
That's how he keeps his overhead low.
That's right.
He's probably not coming on my show now, huh?
No, here's the question. Do you think he's diligent enough to read, to listen to the secret bonus minutes? Is this
oh, absolutely not. This is free time.
Oh, no, he's got people.
Well, that's true. He's gonna have a hand-typed transcript in the morning.
Exactly.
Throughout the day tomorrow, I'll just be like...
From his personal dictation person.
This is my last show. You guys are on the...
There's going to be a piece of scorched earth where to,
right.
When you get back.
I've pissed off so many people tonight that I think this will be my last show. And
first, yeah,
you want to go out in a blaze of glory. You don't want to go off, you know.
It was the MedGadget kiss of death. It was very...
It was the black rose of MedGadget.
It was the Dr. Flea curse that I've started that right now. Maybe I'll move over to TalkShoe. Maybe I'll move to a different site. I don't know. So do I have to make this show 2 hours now? Is that what you guys are telling me? If you guys are on the show, I have to make the show 2 hours.
I got more.
How much Red Bull do I have left? I don't know.
Oh, man. Oh yeah. Okay. How about this concept? The live blogging for charity. How about that? Like a telethon. We'll have a telethon.
Oh, hey, you know, yeah, that's huge.
We'd have to pick a charity.
I was going to say, yeah, we go all out, everything set up, and then all last, right before we go on the air, yeah,
Pfizer.
Pfizer.
All proceeds go to Pfizer. They lost a lot with the that bong thing, whatever. Anyway, Exubera,
there you go. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Trying to bail up. No, but I don't know. But so I'm from Boston originally, and there's a Boston sports guy is a blogger for ESPN and columnist and blogger, and he does a chat every month or so. And you know, sometimes the chat's 2 hours, sometimes it's 3 hours. You know, but one day he decided to like break the record for longest chat, and it was for charity, and he went for 6.5 hours.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I couldn't do that without you guys.
Yeah, he's like Kevin. He was a one-man show, essentially just answering questions for 6 hours, different readers' questions, hundreds. But I bet, you know, with a marathon like with Jerry's Kids or something, we could just have different people call in. You know, Kevin and Dee, Dr. O, and then like Dr. A could, you know, powder his nose for a few minutes or something, you know, like duck out while other people talk for 20 minutes, you know, take a power nap, whatever you want to call it. I guess powder his nose has connotations. I'm not even sure what I'm talking about.
No, he's on video. If anybody's getting their nose powdered, it's Dr. A. You can't have any shine.
That's right.
I'm not
watching the video. I keep forgetting that he's on video.
That comment was actually apropos. It was not denigrating at all.
Okay, I thought, does that mean cocaine, now that I think about it?
Am I even here?
Well, if you're going to go all night, I don't know.
You should. What has happened to my show here?
You should. Suddenly Sermo isn't coming out the door. It's going to be the police.
Yeah, right. ATF is at the door now.
Yeah.
You should. That would be so funny because no one knows who you are. You should just like, just bring out this like random drug paraphernalia.
Wouldn't it be
hey,
funny?
How about this? Well, the April Fool's show. How about that?
There you go. Oh, and Grand Rounds is on April Fool's this year. I was wondering who to get for that. I was
awesome.
Yeah. I don't know how to structure it.
Who's doing it?
I haven't planned that far in advance.
Me and Enrico will do.
I'd salivate to do that. I'm telling you right now.
we would have the worst post ever.
There would never be a Grand Rounds that would take so long to compile because we'd never get any damn work done.
it would be sponsored by all the drugs that have been removed from the market. It would be sponsored by like Vioxx,
Ritalin,
Exubera. and the drugs like that.
Extra.
Love that. Yeah.
Was it, what was, how, I'm trying to think of it. Maybe it wasn't removed. Never mind. I need my Red Bull.
If you're a fan of silliness, though, getting, and I do want to come back to the Grand Rounds on April Fool's Day, that sounds like let the wheel turn and stuff, but you should, especially since people, look, I don't know, how do most of your interviewers talk to you, Dr. A?
In Spanish. I know they're talking. I need
everybody
to translate.
Are they? I'm on a cell phone. I'm just kind of walking back and forth in my apartment. I'm like checking the chat room, and I can't access the Ustream thing. So I don't know though. Like when Enrico did the show, were you seated? Were you?
He was
standing
on the ledge.
Estuvo acostado en la cama.
Dock me down.
We'll have subtitles, but nobody can read them because it's audio.
También traducido en español.
That's what we'll do for a show. Me and Nick will talk, and then Enrico will just say
we'll translate.
No, you're gonna ask the questions in English, and I'm just gonna randomly respond in Spanish.
Exactly.
And people are gonna think what?
Comprendo la red de América.
Exactly. I'm going to use that fakey radio. Bienvenidos a Guadalajara. You know, I'm going to use that fakey, you know, radio. No, radio.
You should no. But what I was asking though about this is I think it'd be very silly and very fun though if Dr. A just like on the video stream, especially if you had a interviewee that didn't know that like you could access the video stream. You should just like start doing this, like I don't know, like that armpit thing that people do to make noises. Or, I guess
pick
the,
his
you know,
nose.
You could just start smoking. Just start like it would just be so weird and like
just whip out the bong.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I don't want to get in trouble. Water pipe.
Exuberant. Well, I got this exuberant here.
You know, I have to have a live show for the April Fool's Day Grand Rounds. You know I have to do that.
But, well, it depends on whether it's going to be a hoax or not. Maybe you could be in on the hoax and, like, you know, if we say it's going to be at one place and then we move it to some other blog at the last minute and you're spreading disinformation somehow. And
you can pull Geraldo Rivera and put, like, a backdrop and say, I'm in Afghanistan when you're really That was from years ago. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Like, here, I'm drawing a map of where the troops are.
Yeah.
But that's a Risk board game. Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong map.
Nick, do you have Skype? Do you know what Skype is?
Yeah, I don't do it.
You don't do it?
I get 3 minutes after 9 o'clock, so I'm good.
No, I mean, because. At some point, us three should just
Skype also does video chat. But.
Get on a Skype call or something to talk about more of this stuff or something like that. Because I think 2 hours is the cutoff for the show, and that's like in 2 minutes. So
I think
every 5 minutes after 90 minutes is where it goes down a grade level. as in scholastic grade level.
we are about to fail.
Well, I mean, we should definitely work on some of these concepts here. I think it'd be hilarious.
Absolutely. That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Well, Nick, get some sleep.
Oh, I'm off tomorrow. That's the beauty of the ER. You work like a dog for 3 or 4 days in a row, but I have Friday off. Anyway, but, yeah, no, I'm going to go to sleep. And thank you. Thank you for having me on your show again. I don't know if it came through, but I really love this. I really love the format. I think it's great talking to you. You're hilarious. We have a good time. And Enrico, I'm so glad to hear for like. Hear
oh, I thought story. You were talking to me. I'm sorry. You were talking to Dr. Craig.
No, he was talking to you.
I'm
talking to you. Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Talking to me.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, we scraped the bottom of the barrel there.
Nice.
But, yeah, let's do this again.
Yeah, the Three Amigos or the punditry will continue. Well, I'll definitely look at my schedule. I'm definitely gonna look at my schedule for this concept of the red carpet Oscar or something, whatever.
Yeah, and I will definitely try to cajole Dr. O into some kind of random appearance, and I think we should really encourage the other bloggers to chime in. Maybe,
yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, I can take it upon myself since I've got everyone's email. I will, like, email, I don't know, Vests from Clinical Cases. Whoever's up for, like, big awards, you know, I think it would be great if we, it doesn't have to be funny or hilarious or everything jokey, because I think a lot of these people don't have a big sense of humor. But, you know, it would be so cool to just have some of these people call into your show, and it's easy technology, you know. They just need a phone, really.
Just tell Dr. O he can wear a cape. that'll seal the deal. He'll show up.
He likes the capes, huh?
We're saying he's got this mysterious mystique thing, you know. You always have. I mean, if you wear a cape, I don't mean like a Superman cape. I mean like a. You know, like a cloak. Yeah, there you go. Maybe a cape.
I thought of like Broadway musical.
Yeah, I realized when I said cape, there's this like satin red Superman. No, that's not what I was going for.
You guys are killing me. You're killing me.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to encourage the bloggers to write in to call it. Dr. A, one more question: Is it always this number, the 646 number?
Yes.
Like, all right. So even if people don't want to even click on the you know, whatever, like the link. If they just call this number at a certain time and you're broadcasting, they're going to hear the show, and that's great. I think we should. You look at your schedule and pick a day that you can be on the air, and I will try to have it.
Sometime between when the polls close and when the announcements are made, is that, you think that would be the best time to do it?
See, part of me wonders if, I mean.
But what's the show going to be if we can't do the, if we can't. What's a red carpet without the delivery?
Well, I mean, I'm trusting Dr. A to whip up something.
So I have to.
I will bring the ingredients to the table, and the chef will cook and slice and dice, you know?
How about this? The winners announced exclusively on the Dr. Anonymous show.
The thing is, and this is the stupidest thing of all.
Next year.
Steel Thunder.
Is that you can see who's winning, right? I mean,
oh yeah.
So when the polls close, anyone who's paying attention will know who's winning. And,
yeah, but they were wrong in New Hampshire, so I mean.
So said they in New Hampshire, right?
You can't.
They were wrong in New Hampshire.
I think they've already projected the winners.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, maybe there'll be this random element or something, but maybe we should do the show, like, as a last-minute push before the polls close.
We could do
you know, that way it would be worth people to call in and, like, beg for votes or something.
Well, no, actually, to make a serious suggestion, we can meld these two ideas together, which is that having a Dr. A show and doing, you know, kind of mutual hype and drum up, and then the Med Gadget benefits, if we could get those extra, like, MTV categories finalized by around that time, then we can use that space for the...
Oh, they would never do that.
For the funny categories.
they would... Med Gadget would never have parody categories.
Be on
no,
Med Gadget.
Med Gadget would be on the Dr. A show.
Oh. You're on the phone with Med Gadget. We can do this.
Yeah, exactly. We're the ones telling you.
Why do you think you've never seen Dr. O and me in the same place?
Oh, Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
But, all right, how about like, in the last hours, as the polls are closing, like, we take the air and, like, we get some guest speakers to, like, you know, pray for votes or whatever, and we do some of these joke categories, and the polls close, and then we say, like, tune in 3 days to Med Gadget for the announcement of the winners or something like that. I don't know. We would have some novelty, we'd have some breaking news and stuff like that, but we'd still leave, you know, the awards to Med Gadget, which is, I think what Dr. O wants. I think he's kind of counting on that traffic.
Yeah.
I think a dark cloud just went over my house as you said that.
So the polls will close on midnight on Sunday, January 20th. So something before that.
So something like that night or that Saturday maybe, you know.
You think people will listen to a Saturday night show?
No.
I don't think so either.
In fact, I think my girlfriend would get really angry at me if I just like, honey, I want to call into the show again.
Honey, I have a blog. Honey, I want a blog. You got to stay home.
The blog wasn't taking enough of my time away from you. Now I want to call and talk to my blogger friend.
But you can get online and watch.
there's easily a dozen people in the chat room.
So that's like 2 weeks from now if we're going to do this, right? So that'd be the Thursday before, so that's like 2 weeks from now.
10 days.
Ten days. So, I mean, I guess that could work.
It doesn't have to take a lot of effort. It's never stopped us before.
I could always bump Kevin and we could come back next week.
make sure you bump him like in the 11th, right before, you know, 8 p.m. or something. I'm sorry, something came up.
Letterman
on Kevin. Hello?
Hello?
Oh.
He's still
there?
He's there. Well, somebody, maybe Nick's battery.
Did we lose Nick?
I think Nick's battery died or something on his cell phone, probably.
I think Nick went away. Was Nick's, which guest number was Nick?
No, I think that's still him in there.
No, that is his, that is online. Okay, yeah, he's still online.
Yeah. Oh. I don't think he can call back in, though. So.
No, I think that's done.
So when should we do this then? I mean, it's because nobody would listen to a weekend show. I don't know.
I don't think what I suggested really came across. What I was trying to suggest is that the polls officially close. Okay, but then then there's going to be this little time in between where people have to wait for the results. I'm saying during this lull,
people would know who'd win though, wouldn't they?
I don't know. That's something I always wondered about. Why the wait if you can see who's winning?
Yeah, because it'd be really anticlimactic, you know? I mean, Wednesday, why wait 3 days for the winner? Because if you know...
Dr. Rowe would be able to answer that question. Unfortunately, he did not show.
Because what I would probably want to do is have a show after the polls close and then maybe invite some of the finalist in and say, hey, you know, we love your blog and we hope you'd win and that type of thing. I don't know. You think that would work? Or?
Yeah, but the polls close on Sunday midnight, so... Or maybe just a show. Well, so people could tune in on a Sunday. Because, I mean, tuning in on a Sunday versus a Thursday, it's still a work night, school night, whatever.
You think people would tune in on a Sunday?
I think people could potentially tune in on a Sunday night. I think people's Sunday days are booked. You know what I mean? Like, it's still part of the weekend to do stuff.
Right.
But I think, I don't know.
And I have
if most people are like me, which, you know, they should be, then,
getting ready
for
your week.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's also, like, open. It's.
Right.
I don't want to say relaxing time because you're kind of gearing up for the week, but at the same time, it's also not.
Yeah.
You don't really have a lot of pending. You don't have, like, committed stuff. So I'm just saying that people are probably home. And as long as they're home, then there's at least the potential that they'll take an hour out of their evening or some time out of their evening to go check out and participate at least a little bit
in
the radio show. It's a Friday and a Saturday night when people aren't expected to even be home that you're going to get, like, almost nobody showing up.
Right.
I'm just saying Sunday nights, people are mostly home. You at least got a chance there.
Right. And we'll have to check with Nick, too. Maybe Sunday night would work better for him. Because even if nobody would call him, you know, us three can talk for like 2 hours.
Well, we've proven that.
Exactly.
That's not speculation. That is proof. That's evidence-based talk show right there.
So even if nobody calls in,
We'll have a good time.
Exactly.
All right. Why don't we do that? Why don't I check my schedule? I'll send an email out to you guys. We'll try to get we'll do something nice for Nick's girlfriend or something like that to free him up for the 2 hours on the 20th. All right. Well, I think we got something.
Cool. Well, let's work with that. I'll let you do the official close for the archives.
Oh yeah, great. So I'll talk to you soon then.
All right. Take care.
All right. See ya. All right, kids, I don't know if anybody is still listening, but I will officially close the show here, and thank you for tuning into the show. Thank you for tuning in to our planning meeting, and I'm very excited this year. I'm excited that the show is off to a good start for 2008, and thank you for tuning in. I do want to give some plugs here for anybody's left listening. Nick Jeans, you can find him. He's the king of Grand Rounds. His blog is blogbarygmi, blogbarygmi.blogspot.com. And he's also at medgadget.com. And Enrico is mexicomedstudent.com. Do want to thank people in the chat room who participated there tonight. I think we were up to maybe 12, 15 people in the chat room, so thank you for that. Next week, Kevin MD is going to be here. So tune in then. So I will play this closing song here and, have a good night. I am Dr. Anonymous and I'm a blogaholic. You can find me at dranonymous.com. Good night from the Buckeye State.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.